Welcome to Book Delight with Chrissy Wright, the podcast where readers can be all kinds of ways and books really are magic. I'm your host, Chrissy Wright. I'm an elementary teacher librarian in the Pacific Northwest. On this show, I aim to connect you and the kids in your life to more books you love. If the idea of blowing up your kidlit TBR appeals to you, you're in the right place. It is the last episode of the month, so today I'm sharing a Reading Raves episode where I will recap the best kidlit that I read during the month of March. At the time of this recording, I finished 22 books during the month of March. Of those, I really enjoyed and would highly recommend 12 titles. Those are the ones I'm sharing with you today. We've got 2 short chapter books, 9 graphic novels, and 1 middle grade. Let's kick it off with short chapter books. First, I read Detective Gordon, The First Case by Ulf Nilsson. Sometimes working in a library means you get to experience library serendipity at work. It's the best. I'm in my 3rd year in my library, which means I am still kind of gradually getting to know my collection. It turns out it takes a minute to acquaint yourself with 10,000 books. So I'm kind of gradually weeding and working to increase student discoverability of what we have on the shelf. And sometimes, often really, I discover something on the shelves in my day-to-day work that is brand new to me. Such is the case here. I was working my way through our mystery section when I came across a set of 4 slim volumes. Because I am always hunting for more short middle grade to recommend to my readers who just want something that is not so many pages, this one really caught my interest, so I pulled it off the shelf to look at more in depth, and I am so glad that I did. This is the first in a 4-book series. Bonus, it is translated from Swedish. It is written by the beloved Swedish children's author Ulf, U-L-F, Nilsson. The book is written in kind of a classic noir style, but it has these full color illustrations throughout that add such warmth and whimsy that it really ends up feeling like a cozy mystery. It kind of is reminiscent of the Sophie Mouse chapter book series to me. In this story, we meet Detective Gordon, a toad who is the sole detective in the forest. Now, bear with me, but his character really reminds me of Inspector Gamache from the 3 Pines mystery series. He is just this wise old soul trying to do his best for a community that he loves, and he just can't help but see the best in everyone, even the accused. So if Sophie Mouse meets Inspector Gamache, if Gamache were a toad who just wants the best for everybody, kind of piques your interest, then you need this book. The mystery here is extremely low stakes. Some nuts are missing. We've got to find them. But the overall experience is sweet and delightful, and I loved it. That was Detective Gordon, The First Case by Ulf Nilsson. The other short chapter book that I read and loved this month was Teeny Houdini, The Disappearing Act by Katrina Moore. This one came to my attention because the Washington Library Association has announced its nominees for next year's Reader Choice Awards. And this one is nominated for the Otter Award, which is our short chapter book award. This one came out in 2022 and is the first in a now 3-book series so far. This book kind of feels like if you took Jasmine Taguchi Mochi Queen and added on a sprinkle of Dory Phantasmagory personality, or kind of a bit of a more earnest Junie B. Jones. In this story, we meet Bessie Lee. She's a boisterous, big-hearted protagonist that readers will fall in love with. In this book, she's a first grader, so this would make a dreamy class read aloud for any first grade teachers out there. In this one, we have got a talent show story. Bessie's teacher announces the first grade talent show is coming up, and in a somewhat familiar trope of kidlit, Bessie does not have a talent. Cue her quest to get one, and of course, to dazzle the crowd. As you can perhaps infer from the Houdini in the title, Bessie decides on a disappearing act. Shenanigans ensue, including the accidental, actual disappearance of the class pet. Whoops. Read to root for Bessie on the ups and downs of her first grade talent show quest, and prepare to just fall in love with a character that you will then follow anywhere. A really nice touch here is the representation of Bessie's multilingual family. Her grandmother speaks only Chinese, and we have some truly lovely and hilarious scenes between Bessie and her grandma. That was Teeny Houdini, The Disappearing Act by Katrina Moore. Let's move on to the graphic novels that I read and loved this month. As is typical for me, I have a big old stack of graphics for you today. I'll try to go a little bit quicker through these, but I think that today's list gives you a really great range of lengths, genres, and moods. So I am excited for you to discover something great for the graphic fanatic in your life. So first up, and this is one that I predict will make it to my favorites of the year list, is The Great Pup Detective by Alina Tissot. This is kind of a raucous, grumpy sunshine mystery told in short chapters. In this story, Truffles the cat likes things to be calm, which then spells trouble when Poppy the puppy, the bounciest, most perfectly energetic character you will ever see on the page, moves in. Poppy declares herself a pup-tective, the only problem being that Poppy doesn't actually really know what a mystery is. Read to follow Poppy's somewhat blundering quest to solve a mystery, any mystery, and Truffles' parallel quest to get rid of Poppy. Don't worry, we end with a happily ever after between this pair, and the journey is just this sparkly delight. That was The Great Pup-tective by Alina Tissot. Next, I read Banana Fox and the Secret Sour Society by James Kochalka. This is book one of a three-book series so far. This one gets the official seal of approval from my dogman-obsessed first-grade son. I recently also added this series to my elementary school library, and I now cannot keep it on the shelf. In this book, Banana Fox is a detective on a mission to find a missing turtle. We have got all kinds of antics here. A sour drink that an evil villain uses to mind control the kids in the neighborhood. A fandom gone wrong. A girl named Flashlight because Banana Fox never bothers to actually listen to her name. Rude. And more. I really love the electric, bright colors in the art in this one, and the wacky over-the-top humor will be a hit for the Dogman Hive. That was Banana Fox and the Secret Sour Society by James Kochalka. Next, in a little bit of a different mood, I read Art Club by Rashad Doucette. The realistic section of my graphics shelf is the most chronically empty shelf. Kids check out my realistic graphics like crazy, even more so than my funny or my fantasy sections. So because of that, I am especially thrilled to have Art Club to add to the shelf. This will be a great recommendation for your fans of Babysitter's Club who love that sweet spot between friendship and entrepreneurship. And this one also has kind of a fun sprinkle of gaming and cosplay. In this story, Dale has heard the same lecture over and over. Art will get you nowhere in life. But Dale is not having it, and he sets out to start an art club at his school. We have got unlikely friendships, an evil assistant principal, and of course, a happy ending for the arts. There is also a fun parallel layer where Dale and his friends interact in a video game that they love, which I think will really captivate your gamers as well. I also especially loved the relationship between Dale and his late grandmother, who is the one that really inspired his love of comics. We have some just really lovely retrospective sections where Dale remembers moments and experiences he shared with his grandma that continue to have meaning to him today. My one quibble with this one is that the anti-art lectures from multiple grown-ups in Dale's life are a bit heavy-handed and a bit redundant. but they weren't enough to detract from my enjoyment of the story overall, and I would still really recommend this one. That was Art Club by Rashad Doucette. Next, I read and really loved Schnauzer and Tater Toes Take a Hike by Rick Stramosky. This is book one of two so far. I have been hearing great things about this one since it came out last year, and I had just barely flipped through it at the bookstore where I was kind of immediately smitten with both the larger frames and the larger text size, two things that I really wish we had more of in graphics for my kid readers. But I had not gotten the chance to sit down with it and read it cover to cover until now. Well, this month I did, and I adored it. This is a buddy comedy in the truest sense. Schnauzer and Tater Toes are devoted friends who really just feed off each other's antics with pitch-perfect dialogue. Here we have a quest across the forest in search for Tater Toes' mom. Along the way, we have obstacles ranging from quicksand to a hodgepodge of cameos from fairy tale villains. As an aside, this would make such a fun read aloud for classes doing a fairy tale unit. Schnauzer and Tater Toes each have an archetype of sorts. Schnauzer is the smart one, and Tater Toes is the very incredibly cheerful one. I laughed out loud repeatedly at the ways that Tater Toes takes things a little bit too literally, kind of accidentally poking fun at some of the oddities of the English language. I am very much looking forward to diving into book two, which is already out, where Schnauzer and Tater Toes head to space. That was Schnauzer and Tater Toes Take a Hike by Rick Stramosky. Next, I read Yatsuba, Volume 1, by Kiyohiko Azuma. You guys, I read my first manga. I recently received a grant to add manga and more graphic novels to my elementary library, so I have been doing a ton of research about manga that is a good fit for an elementary school audience. I have combed the archive of school library journal and curated a list of picks that I'm excited to add to my collection, and I am aiming to read through kind of the first installment of each of the series that I have curated so I can better place them with the right readers. As part of this manga journey, the first book that I picked up was Yatsuba, and I loved it. This is an episodic slice of life comic following Yatsuba and her daddy as they move into a new apartment. In this first installment, we only really get breadcrumbs about Yatsuba and her backstory, but we do get the sense that she is an exuberant, big-eyed explorer of the world, taking in things for the first time with such absurd enthusiasm that you cannot help but chuckle. Her level of shock and fascination with things like an air conditioner is next level. One of my favorite scenes is Yatsuba's first time on a swing. She doesn't realize that you're supposed to hold on, and you can guess how that ends. In each chapter, you follow just kind of an everyday experience, but Yatsuba's giant personality and the recurring cast of neighbors and family members make each experience just feel like a delicious adventure. I could definitely see myself picking up more Yatsuba as a palate cleanser between reads in the future because I know I can count on its big, happy mood. That was Yatsuba, Volume 1 by Kiyohiko Azuma. Next, of course I read Dogman, The Scarlet Shedder by Dave Pilkey, book 12 now in the Dogman series. I read these aloud with my first grade son. I have been a fan of Dogman because of how I've seen it make readers in my classroom and in my library, but it has just been a real pleasure getting a front row seat to the joy that these books bring to my son. This one is really on form with everything we know and love about Dogman. We've got our favorite characters and, of course, an absurd premise. Dogman was sprayed by a skunk, dipped in tomato juice to remove the stench, and now is stained red as a result. just go with it. Dave Pilkey also does an over-the-top kind of playful spin on a current issue here. In this one, he's taking on the dangers of AI and how AI-powered robots could be the end of us all. In some ways, I feel like Dave Pilkey said to himself, let's just go big in this one. We've got multiple villains, body doubles, robots that are literally huge. Your super fans will be delighted and satisfied, and I wish them many happy rereads. That was Dogman, The Scarlet Shutter by Dave Pilkey. Next, I read Officer Clawsome, Lobster Cop by Brian Smitty Smith. This is book one in the Officer Clawsome series, with book two due out in April. You may recognize author Brian Smitty Smith's name from his series P, B, and J, which is another crowd-pleasing graphic novel series in my library. This one is another nominee for next year's Otter Award, which is a Reader's Choice Award here in Washington. And it is quite fitting that I picked it up right after Dogman, because here we have another big humor cop story. In this case, a lobster cop. This book is blurbed as SpongeBob meets Dogman, and it really delivers on that promise. We have got shark sightings, jailbreaks, chase scenes, wrestling, and maybe my favorite part, a cop's sidekick with some of the punniest puns I have seen on the page in a while. This one is a no-brainer for your Dogman fans. That was Officer Clawsome, Lobster Cop by Brian Smitty Smith. Next, I read Peculiar Woods, The Ancient Underwater City by Andres J. Colmenares. This is book one, with book two due in June. I discovered this one via the American Library Association's Graphic Novel and Comics Roundtable 2023 list of great graphic novels for children. That was a mouthful, but the list is a really great resource, and I will put a link to it in the show notes for you. So when this list comes out every year, I go on a giant library holds spree and place holds on any books on the list that I have not gotten the chance to read yet. And every year, it yields some really delightful discoveries. Peculiar Woods is one such discovery for this year. A thing about me is that my childhood comfort movie, the thing I would watch anytime I was homesick from school, was The Brave Little Toaster. And this book has such fantastic Brave Little Toaster vibes. It's kind of like if you take Brave Little Toaster and sprinkle in some Hilda, I think when between those two, you really have a sense of the storytelling here. In this story, 9-year-old Iggy is new in town. That is hard enough, but things get even weirder when objects start coming to life. First a chair, then Iggy's childhood comfort blanket. What next? Follow Iggy's fantastical quest with an assortment of objects come to life as his sidekicks into a strange and magical underwater city. My school happens to have a really vibrant chess club, so the element of some especially spirited chess pieces in this book was a lovely surprise I know my readers are going to love. The setup for book two is strong, while this book still delivers a satisfying adventure in its own right. This will make a great addition to your fantasy graphic novel shelf. That was Peculiar Woods, The Ancient Underwater City by Andres J. Colmenares. Next, I picked up Welcome to Feral by Mark Fearing. You heard me set this one up in last week's episode as one of the books on my spooky TBR, and this week I got the chance to pick it up. I won't give it the full treatment here. You can go back and listen to episode 34 for the full setup if you want to, but I will say that this is an absolute yes for your fans of Eerie Tales from the School of Screams and your readers who want something veering into the actually scary. It is told as a collection of cautionary tales, each telling the story of a kid in the town of Farrell who has disappeared in some sinister way. One of my favorite stories is about an ice cream truck gone very wrong. The piled high ice cream cones really reminded me of the ice cream frog and toad story, but with a horrifying ending. This series is going to make my fifth grade spooky readers very happy. That was Welcome to Farrell by Mark Fearing. Let's close it out by talking about middle grade. My middle grade reading was a bit of a downer this month. A few of my highly anticipated releases were big busts for me. I don't share negative reviews on the podcast, but if you're interested in content where I share what does not work for me in Kidlit and why, you might enjoy Ursula Nordstrom Would Never. That's the name of a monthly recurring column for my paid subscribers on Substack. And coming up in April, you will see me break down some of these middle grade letdowns. That said, I did have one big win in my middle grade reading this month, and that was the forthcoming Keeping Pace by Lori Morrison, out April 9th. This one is set in the summer between 8th grade and high school, so it falls squarely in kind of the upper middle grade category. But when I finished it, I handed it straight to my fifth grade daughter because of how gently it handles some of the ups and downs of asking and answering questions about achievement and identity that are really prominent in the middle school years. In this story, protagonist Grace has been working for years to beat her rival and former friend Jonah's GPA. She really wants to be named top scholar at her middle school. But when she comes up short, things just kind of crumble. If a checklist of achievements does not make you who you are, what does? That's kind of the central question that Grace is wrestling with in this story. Searching for purpose once school is out, Grace signs up for a half marathon that she and Jonah used to talk about running. I loved how this book offered some really authentic reflections about big questions, but it delivered it in genuine relationships without being at all preachy. This is such a difficult balance to achieve on the page, and Lori Morrison did it really well. Yes, there is also a bit of a friends to crush story between Grace and Jonah, and I also adored how sweetly and chastely that element was executed. It gives you that little feeling of butterflies, but does not get at all racy. I am also always on the hunt for more really great representation in middle grade of girls in athletics. So I love that we got this here through Grace's story of being a runner. This was just a gentle, sincere, and satisfying read with great pacing. That was Keeping Pace by Lori Morrison, out April 9th. That concludes today's Reading Raves episode. Be sure to come back next week for our April forecast episode, where I will share the Kidlit books releasing in April that I am most looking forward to. My forecast episodes are quickly becoming the most popular episodes I do of the show, and I am really enjoying making them. So I hope you'll come back and listen and maybe share the episode with some friends. If you liked what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and share the show with your Kidlit-loving friends. If you want more book delight in your life from me, Chrissy, the best place to connect with me is on Instagram at LibraryChrissy. You can also follow the show at Book Delight Pod and subscribe to my free monthly Kidlit newsletter by visiting librarychrissy.substack.com. If you want to support the show or get more book talk from me between episodes, you can also upgrade to becoming a paid subscriber on Substack. For $7 a month, you are helping pay the costs of producing the show and also get a weekly Friday treat from me in your inbox. The Friday treat includes things like bonus book lists, library lesson ideas, reviews of my grown-up reads, and more. This week, I'm reading The First State of Being by Erin Entrada Kelly. As always, thank you for listening and happy reading.